Thank you for introduction, and thank you. Everybody have given me a chance to visit here. It's very nice here. So like today I'm going to describe the using the topological invariant Z2 spin chain number. And if I have time, I will describe zero frequency Green function's behavior to describe a topological phase transition using the quantum Monte Carlo simulation. If you are interested in that, here's a reference. So before start everything, let me just acknowledge my cooperators, Dr. Lei Wang, Dr. Chen Gu, who invited me to visit here, and Victra, and my current postdoc advisor, Greg Fitt, and the other, Ziyang Meng, Thomas Nang, and Yahua Chen. And a special thank to Zhong Wang, Dr. Zhong Wang, at the Tsinghua University. So let me just outline a talk. So first I'll give you an introduction. So let's just like briefly introduce the two-dimensional topological insert. I think everybody know right now it's a prototype model, it's a K-many model, and it's a topological insert in 2D. Then I will introduce, somehow if we some additional time running term, we can have a topological phase transition in the K-many model family. Tell you what the models are. Next one, I will introduce the determinant quantum Monte Carlo method. I try to tell you how this method works, because this method has been proved as an excellent numerical method to study the correct system. If there's no sign problem, this method basically is a numerically exact. Then the third part, I will just introduce for the 1918 case, it's very, I think most people know how to calculate Z2 index and the spin chain number, but in the interaction case with the interaction, then how can we calculate these two things in a topological insert? Then the first part, I will just show my results. So the correlation, show you the correlation effects in the topological insert and the topological phase transition. So I will show you with the interaction, the topological phase boundary will shift. You can see the shift by the Monte Carlo simulation. Then the case can be stabilized topological state or destabilized topological state. And then I will tell you possible reasons. Then finally, I will summarize. Okay, so let me just get started first part. So over more than 50 years, the condensed matter symmetry matters systems that just involve the symmetry breaking, as in quantum mechanics and superconductivity and the superfluid. So the first example is an integer quantum Hall state. This doesn't break any symmetry and cannot be described by local symmetry. All the parameters, like quantum mechanics, we can describe by spin magnetization. So superconductivity, you can describe by pairing all the parameters. But the quantum Hall state, the only one thing we see is like a whole conductivity is quantized. And another thing, like a recent discovery, is a quantum spin hole and the topological insert. So the integer quantum spin hole is given by two-dimensional electron gas. We apply the Mankin field, and each electron, that's a classical picture. The electron has a cyclotron motion. So in this case, we see the bulk still the gap. But with this picture, we can have the chiral state on the edge, So this chiral state edge, with this edge state band structure, we can have like a very small condensation band and a valence band. So this is an integer quantum Hall state. So the quantum spin Hall state, instead, this one, we have like a one magnetic field, but here quantum spin Hall state is like, why not we have a two spin spaces, and the spin up, spin down, we have an opposite magnetic field. And then for this magnetic field, then each of the spin, we can have their own direction, chiral state, but each of them have opposite direction. So this is called a helical state. And because what kind of system can have this one? So basically this effective magnetic field can be given by spin orbital coupling. And because for each direction, we have a spin up, spin down, different direction chiral state. So this is state preserve the time resource symmetry. And then we can have the two gap this small conduction band and the valence band for the spin up, spin down, and just like a double copy of this quantum Hall state. So I think this is just like a simply naive thinking quantum spin hole just like a double copy of a quantum hole state. So, okay, so the, let's say the prototype, the quantum topological insert in 2D, which is the quantum hole state, comes from the K-many model. And the K-many model comes from the early, like more than years, 20 years ago, proposed by Hodan. Then he considered a system, a honeycomb lattice with imagery flux, just like the compressed flux. So this model breaks time result symmetry locally, but because like with this picture, the neighbor flux has upset chirality, so totally the net flux is zero. So this model gives us a hint. As long as we break time result symmetry, we can possibly have a quantum announced whole state, but not necessarily with the magnetic field. So, and the K-many model basically is just a generalization of this thing. So basically, quantum spin hole K-many model is given by the spin up, we can have a similar like the Hodan model, but the spin down, we reverse the ABC in the chirality, and then just we couple these two together. So in this case, it's still time result symmetry preserved, and also can have the non-trivial topological property, and but the spin up, spin down, they have opposite chirality. So, and this Hamiltonian can be presented by, if we just write down this picture, then the Hamiltonian can be described by spin or coupling. So this is a K-many model, and this term, this Hodan model, just single spin. So this is just like the previous picture, like the quantum spin hole with just a double spin, but everything we just do a time reversal partner. Okay. You remind me. So maybe, there's no relation. I want to say this spin up, I have a chirality always this way, spin down, the chirality this way. I think the color doesn't mean anything. The hexagon means like a square lattice. So this is a nearest neighbor hopping. This is a nearest neighbor hopping. But they are purely real. That is square. Honeycomb lattice. Lattice is a honeycomb lattice, yes. Not square lattice, yes. Okay. So this is a, yes.
Just a comment. I just checked this. I think Hasdorfer in 1976 considered the problem with the complex hopping.
Yes.
So we should call it Hasdorfer problem. But unfortunately, the title of his paper includes magnetic field in it. If you say complex hopping, you will get that credit
rather than for that. Okay, I see.
Actually, this
problem
with the complex hopping is
studied.
I think maybe even before
Hasdorfer,
but he at least considered
this
system
with
the complex hopping.
Okay. But I think there's a difference because in his model, the flux in the image cell is not zero. But in this model, if you just add all the flux, you get zero. So I think there's a difference. When you have a rational magnetic field, you can always double, triple, quadruple unit cell into zero. Yeah, it's a there's always a unit cell where you do have a two-pack flux. So the problem is not the same.
Okay.
The only difference is that he has magnetic field in his title, although he considered a complex.
So basically, you say that's similar to the Hodan model, actually.
It's the same as Hodan model.
And 10 years ago.
Yeah. It's complex.
Okay. But anyway, breaks time result symmetry is a gradient. Okay. Thank you for education. All right. So this is a K-many model. So basically, because like I said, the K-many model given by spin up, spin down, Hodan, but with the upset chirality. Then in this case, the spin up give a chain number 1, spin down give a minus 1 chain number. Then the total chain number for this system will be equal to 0. It's because if you combine this system, you can see this edge, the net charge current is 0. because the time reversal up here, down here, so the net charge current is zero, but the spin current is not zero. So basically, this system can have a spin hole connectivity. It's a 2 over some, in terms of some, I think E over pi, 2 pi something, H over 2 pi anyway. But this number, the spin, this up minus down is not a good topological invariant because this thing by this paper shows if with a rush bar coupling, spin up, spin down mix, then this term is not no longer a good quantum number. But when you just increase the rush bar coupling, then you can see this spin hole connectivity goes down, but it's not from 1 to 0. So it's not a proper, the comment is not proper topological invariant for the topological insulator. So instead, the real topological insulator should be Z2 invariant given by Liang Fu and Ken, the argument. So basically, I'm thinking this Z2 is just like the mode 2 of this number, and then 1 is non-trivial, 0 is trivial.
So
that two sub lattices, yes. Yes. If you, I mean, basically today, what I'm talking is like a K-mini model. There's no still U1 symmetry still there. There's no rush bar. I mean, because like so far this case, you can show there's no sign problem in the Monte Carlo simulation. So, for example, of course, the first step we try to show the simple case, and okay, this numerically is it. We can do something. The next step, I mean, of course, we can consider adding the rush bar. Spin or copying, and to see what happened. Okay, so just keep it in mind. All right, so so I also mentioned a topological phase transition here. So traditional phase transition, it's like I say, involves a symmetry breaking, like we have a paramagnetic state to the magnetic state, but we can measure the local order parameter, we measure the magnetization, then we see the magnetization from zero to the finite number, and this is a phase transition. But the topological phase transition cannot be detected by using local order parameter. They should consider the global wave function description, like a Berry phase change or some topological invariant change. Like the trivial insulator to the quantum Hall state, then we can see the chain number from zero to the finite number. So this is the topological phase transition. Then the Z2 here, just like another Z2 topological phase transition is like from we have a non-trivial Z2 to the trivial Z2. Then I will show you, so the following, I will introduce the two models that can show the topological phase transition. All right, so the first one, the first example, like I say, these two models, they are just the family, the relative family of the K-mini model. So first one, we call generalized K-mini model. So we start from the K-mini model, the honeycomb lattice with like imagery of compressed hopping. But if we add the third nearest neighbor term, like the crayon colors here, then when we tune this T3 term, then we find out the invariants from minus 1 to the positive 1 when we tune the T3 term. So that means at this point, it's 1/3, so that means we have a topological phase transition from the Z2 to the trivial Z2 insulate. This is the first model example. So the second one is the dimerites. So the dimerites is like we still start from the K-mini model, and we add the turns, the dimerites, the only vertical bounds. So this bound, like we have the hopping and the T minus T minus T, but here is with like some dimerization delta. Then the delta is equal to 0, meaning like just return to the K-mini model. But when we tune the delta from 0 to 1, we find out we can have an invariant from minus 1 to 1. So this still have a TI phase to the non-trivial TI phase to the trivial TI phase. So this model example gives us shows the topological phase transition from a topological insulate to the trivial insulate. So
you define the third nearest neighbor by the lattice spacing.
Yes.
So why do you consider the coupling between the red spin and the honeycomb with a
black spin in, I mean, in the other honeycomb, you see?
Oh, this one, okay. This
spin is still, I mean, three steps, right? Why it's not considered?
Can you say again?
Nearest, I mean, the nearest neighbor.
I mean, this is the first near neighbor.
Yes,
this is the second.
Yeah, but if you go along the paths,
yeah.
For three steps, by three steps, you can get to the next honeycomb, right? I mean, you see what I mean? It's hard to describe by these words.
Okay.
So suppose you take the leftmost honeycomb.
I think it's longer than the third one.
it's still three steps, right?
It's
one,
three
two,
steps,
three.
Yeah.
Why is
yeah.
it not considered third nearest neighbor?
This is the third nearest neighbor.
Because the...
Oh, the other side.
The other unit there, right?
Oh, okay. Oh, basically, I consider this one because this one shows the example. Just preserve all honeycomb lattice symmetry. So I will describe later. Okay. But I mean, you can see this one is break the rotational symmetry. Okay. So this is related to the later I'm going to describe. So this model shows a topological phase transition. So basically, we can double check the edge state. Like I said, if this topological non-trivial state, they have only one gapless mole within the bulk gap. And so this one gapless mole tells us for each spin, the spin chain number is one. Okay, so I say the magnitude, not the sign. But the other side, okay, so this side, this is a trivial Z2 insulate. However, if we plot the surface state, the edge state, this trivial state actually have two gapless mole, but this one doesn't have at all. So this tells us this state is a Z2 trivial, but actually for each spin, it still gives a chain number to quantum Hall state. But in this model, there's no gapless mole, so actually that's totally trivial. There's no topological non-trivial property. So basically this, if you just check the Z2 invariant, you just can see the Z2 from non-trivial to trivial, but if you check out the spin chain number, you can see the still difference. So this is from edge state, but next one we can see the bulk band structure. So we can see for the first one, generalize the K-mini model, we find out when we tune the T3 turn, we can have a spin chain number from 1 become 2 minus 2. And the corresponding the gap, at the critical point, the gap cross at the three topological invariant point, N1, N2, and N3. So this corresponding to the chain number from 1 to minus 2, because the chain number variation is 3. But for the dimerized model, the chain number variation only 1 from 1 to 0, and the bulk, the band structure, only at the critical point, only cross at one point. So so next one, you may be wondering, okay, this is all non-interacting case. So that's our motivation. So what about this topological phase transition? If we add an interaction, so what happened? What kind of behavior they can indicate? So this is through the whole talk motivation. Now, right now we consider the correlation effect by adding the Hubbard interaction, U and up times and down. And so everyone knows this with this term is not trivial to solve even just like a so simple Hamiltonian form. So we have two questions to ask. So first one, so are the topological insulates still stable? And the second question is like previously I introduced you the topological phase transition, are they still able to describe by interacting topological invariants? So to answer this question, so we performed a determinant quantum Monte Carlo study. And because this model, you can always show it's always science free. So there's no sign problem. So actually, this Monte Carlo method can give us the numerical exact results. Then we can accurately determine the topological phase transition in the interacting case. And the answer, the short answer for these two questions is yes. And I will show you, we use the Monte Carlo, we can describe the topological phase boundary, the shift, and then we can define we can have a very well defined interacting topological invariants to like a Z2 and the spin chain number to see this shifting. So this is through the point of my talk. Okay, so next one, let me describe a determinant and quantum Monte Carlo measure. So why we mention the Monte Carlo measure? So so basically, like the quantum mechanics tells us the zero temperature, the expectation value of any observable is going to this way. For the finite temperature, we need like a partition function and a trace over the partition function, the exponential Boltzmann factor times the operator. And basically, the wave function is like this linear combination of is a many degree freedoms. So basically, for the many body, it's difficult to solve. And then for example, we have a four-side Hubble model. Each side is 4 degree freedoms. We can have empty sides and one single electron occupant, double occupy. Then the system for the n size, the dimension Hilbert space dimension will be 4 to the n possible configuration. So how horrible is this? If you see the n is equal to 30, you can see the Hilbert space dimension is like 10 to the 18. So basically, to find out this wave function is a hopeless task. But the Monte Carlo tells us not all configurations they are important. Because actually the some configuration they have a larger weight and the some you can almost ignore. So basically we don't have to consider all. So Monte Carlo can tell us, give us a way to dice the filter out the important configuration, then we can reduce the final expectation of the observable is equal to the probability times the value. So this is the Monte Carlo spirit. So let me start from the more concrete example. So the IC model, we know the probability function can be given by Boltzmann factor exponential mass E over KT. So here I give you an example. Four sites IC model, the degree freedom will be 2 to the 4 is 16. But if we compare these three configuration, we find out this configuration, if up, down, down, up, down, up, up, down, up, up, down, then the energy 4J, this is a probability function. And if we flip one of spin, the energy is lower, then probability is smaller. And if we continue flip the other one, then the energy become positive, and the probability is much smaller than compared to this one. So you can see with the proper choice of the probability function, we'll describe which configuration are important. So basically, this is a Monte Carlo test. So when we try to get around important state, of course, consider not important state, but we try to just go around there, but not too far. Okay, but this is a classical measure. So the classical thing is easy because this term is potential, this term is just a number. So you can always show this always is a positive. But for the quantum system, this H become an operator. Then the big problem is how can we evaluate this term? And we don't have any idea the possibility is larger than zero and smaller than zero. It's not obvious. Okay, so this is a classical. So next one, let me just describe the quantum Monte Carlo formalism. So let's go back to the problem we try to solve. For any observable expectation value is given by the partition function, and this is the Boltzmann factor times this operator. Then we try to evaluate the partition function here. So the usual system, some system like a spin up, spin down, they decouple, have a model. Then up and down the decouple, then with the interaction u, then we can just simply write as this is time bounding, this is the interaction term, so first of all, we can just use in the path integral to discretize the beta here, then with some finite small imagery time scale, then we can have such thing like here. And the next term, why do we do this one? Because if we have a delta tau here, small number, then we can directly apply the Strucki Schroder decomposition. Because this term, if we decompose as this one, delta tau is a small number, this is a good approximation. Of course, we can apply the higher order, but in many cases, the first order is a good approximation. And why do we just try to rewrite this term into the two turns, the time bounding exponential turn and the iteration turn. Because if we do this way for the time bounding turn, then we can be expressed by the matrix. This time bounding turn is just a single particle, and the exponential of this single particle matrix is just like we diagonalize this matrix, then we come back to transform, and we can represent the exponential turn very easily. But so next problem is like an interaction turn. Because this interaction turn is a U and up, this is a four fermion operate. So basically this four fermion operate, they cannot be described in terms of a single particle basis. But there's a trick called a Hubbard-Stoltanovich transformation. So we can rewrite this Hubbard interaction turn to the like this form n minus one square, then we can apply the Hubbard-Stoltanovich transformation. We can introduce additional degree freedom. It's called the associated field. S, this is just like the equality, and then S is we can turn this four fermion operator to the single particle turn. So right now we can express this as a matrix. Then we can apply this turn into the partition function. The partition function is equal to trace over this turn, time bounding turn, and this turn with the associated field S. But here we have we need an additional associated field. So with the degree freedom of S here. Okay, so right now everything here is a single particle basis, can be represented by matrix. So the Monte Carlo do is like a here we don't really go through the whole S configuration. We do the Monte Carlo sampling. And in the determined Monte Carlo, this partition function eventually just like we write this thing, and with a trace, fermion trace, that can be written by the spin up and spin down matrix determine and multiply each other. And then we can summation over the all configuration field. Then this multiplication of these two determinants just a probability. And then we for the measurements, then this average value is equal to the probability times this value, the observable you're interested in, then just do average. But so this is a finite temperature algorithm.
So
are you
saying that the sampling is over this
extra? Yes. Yes. Yes.
Then you have
three factors? Yeah, I mean, yes, that's right. For each given configuration, associated field configuration, that's just like a free fermion question. Yeah, and we can, actually, I didn't say that detail, but with a fermion trace and this turn, and we can easily calculate a single particle Green function. And so any observable, like a two-point Green function, a two-point correlation, or three-point, anyway, we can use a weak theory to decompose the pair, right? And each of them can be written by in terms of the Green function.
But, so your construction is that you are not time bound because this
is
two determinants?
Yes, that's basically like Professor say, this side problem comes from, because these two determinants multiply, you cannot guarantee it's always positive. This is the side problem. So this is the side problem to mention here. Okay, but this is a finite, because I start from partition function is traced over exponential minus beta h, so this is a finite temperature algorithm. But for the zero temperature, since we do the similar thing, the very similar algorithm, but right now the partition function replaced by this, the wave function, and we do the projection the same way. Here is the same trick as introduced previously, and we still can write as a two determinant up and down separate together, and with additional associated field, and this associated field, we use the Monte Carlo to sample to determinants. And the sign problem, like I say, the sign problem, because like these two determinants multiply each other, so the sign, this is not guaranteed positive, but the fortunately, if like a bipolar lattice with a particle symmetry, we can prove this is larger than zero. And fortunately, the K-Mani model is the case, because the Hilbert K-Mani model, you can always prove the spin down or spin up, the determinant is always compress conjugate the other one. So although the determinant is a compress compressed number. The other one is always compressed conjugate, so it's always positive. So there's no sign problem. Yeah, of course, if you, that's only head feeling. If you dope or like a frustration, still sign problem here, but all right. So this is the, so that's why some people call determine Monte Carlo, because the spin up, spin down, we can separate to determine. Okay, so this is for the numerical measure, simple introduction. Then the next one, I will just describe the topological invariance. So the Z2 invariance given by Liang Fu and Ken, the Z2 can be equal to like all time reversal invariance, the delta K at the time reversal point here, like the honeycomb lattice, the time reversal invariance points N1, N2, and N3, and the gamma. So this the delta of these 4 points multiply each other. For the genetic case, this delta is just equal to the Pfaffian divided by the square, the determinant of square of the determinant, this WK divided by the Pfaffian function. And this Pfaffian function is given by, is just time reversal operator matrix in terms of the basis of a single particle basis, just like a time bounding model. And this is for general case, but for with the invergent symmetry, this delta K can be simply as like we find out this Brock state parity. So this is, so basically we focus this case because K-Mani model without Washbar effect, that's still with the invergent symmetry. So this is a non-interacting case, but for interacting, then that's a very complicated like a five-dimensional integral over a Green function to calculate the Z2 topological order. So basically this,
three D,
yes, and because like the 3D case KY KZ and I omega, and they have additional dimension. Probably start from like a four dimensional quantum Hall state topological field theory or something. This is Z2. This is this they calculate this the 2 times the P3 number can be even or odd something. Even other than, yes. So this is the Z, but this seems very complicated. It's not practical numerically. Okay, so next one is like a chain number, also spin chain number. Because like I said, we don't consider rush bar, we don't miss up and down. So spin chain number is similar to a chain number here. So everybody knows the non-interacting case, like a chain number is given by the very curvature like this way, and the U still non-interacting Brock state. But for interacting system, so the first one, a well-known method is like we calculate many body wave function by using the twisted bound connection, and we get this many body wave function, we still can do a similar approach to calculate chain number. But the second way is so what about in terms of a Green function? Then the early work that shows we can still calculate interacting system of chain number and with this formalism. We have a three-dimensional Ks and Ky and I omega, the mass power frequency SS. So by these two, we have a hint. The topological invariance for the non-interacting case, the Brock non-interacting state is important to calculate Z2 and the chain number. For the interacting state, Green function plays an important role to calculate either Z2 or the interacting chain number. So that shows the interacting. Instead, we should look for the single particle Green function. However, just as the proof shows now, this basically the Green function should be include the mass power frequency, additional SS. But not all frequency that are important, and actually only zero frequency are important to calculate this topological invariance. So basically this argument is given by Zhong Wang. So he shows the zero frequency is topologically equivalent to the non-zero frequency. So he assumed there's a Green function like this one can be written like this way. And for this function, if we put a lambda is zero, this function just simply equal to I omega k. But if lambda is equal to one, then this function equal to this one. And the Zhong Wang's paper shows If we just start from this one to this one, he shows the for the lambda from 0 to 1, there's no singularity. He already showed that. So basically, the distortion from lambda 0 to the 1 is all is the smooth distortion. So basically, that means the zero frequency is important. So we don't worry about a finite condition. We just need a zero frequency. Okay. So the so this is a if you can see like you can see this paper, but that's give us a very good thing because numerically we just need a zero frequency, which is much make our numerical calculation much easier. So okay, so next one, just I'm going to show the results. So the results about what about correlation effects in this topological phase transition. So the we return to the K-many model but with the Hubble interaction. So the early that's the shows that K-many model with the Hubble interaction, we tune the U here, and then we can have a quantum phase transition from the topological state to the anti-ferromagnetic model insulated state. But here we are not concerned about this one. Like I previously showed you, we have a two time bounding model. We tune the T3N or delta. We can for the 9-13, we can have a Z2 to the trivial. So we are interested in this case. This we call a parameter-driven topological phase transition. And so this like a motivation, we say, what about we add an interaction term? How these two topological phase transitions look like? All right, so for this one, we perform the quantum Monte Carlo simulation. And so the quantum Monte Carlo simulation is easy to calculate Z2 and the spin chain number because like we can firstly get a non-equal time Green function. And we do this non-equal time Green function, we can Fourier transform to omega plus Brown frequency. Then we can easily put this omega zero is just a zero frequency. And then for the zero frequency, we diagonalize then the find the corresponding eigenvalue larger than zero, which is called R0 state. Because like we are try to describe the half filling, so this is we don't only take the half. And for the our simple case, this always positive and negative, the showing pair. And for the Z2 invariance, it already shows this invariance is given by this eigenstate of the zero frequency parity. And we just find all the time reversal invariance of this parity, then we multiply each other. This is an iterating case. And the second case is we calculate spin chain number we use in the projection operator. So basically, like this one, we just like we try to do the benchmark, and then the good thing is like here, the formation, if we use the zero frequency, we don't have to worry about mass power frequency excess, so the integral become two dimensional only, and because like this here is a finite size, so actually we discretize the momentum point, but we can still show the, I will show you that topological phase transition still show the spin chain number has a jump. And then the same thing, like we created the projection operator by using this eigenvalue of the zero frequency Green function. And then later, if we have time, let's add like a Green function, actually the coefficient can be another indication for the topological phase transition in the K-many model case. Okay, so let me just start from what happened if we added the interaction in the generalized K-many model. So this is a Z2, this is a we tune a T3, and this is a Z2. And so here is a case is U is equal to 2T. So 2T is a kind of a weak interacting case. Then we see like this, actually this is a non-interacting case is behind this line, so it's not obvious. But when we increase U is equal 3, and U is equal 4, then we see the like interacting stronger, you see this blue line is shift to the right-hand side. So the blue line is given by Monte Carlo simulation, and this you see a line here is a non-interacting case. So you can see like the interaction push the topological phase boundary to the trivial insulated side. And the spin chain number also shows the same thing, and the spin chain number also shows this is not, it's poorly quantized, but we believe this is a just like a finite size, I will show you later, but basically even finite size for a topological phase transition, we can see a chain number from positive become to the negative, and the larger size is better. So you can see like this behavior is totally entirely given by quantum fluctuation, because the Hartree-Fock description can fail to capture this boundary shift, because the Hartree-Fock we choose like U is equal 4, we now induce an anti-ferromagnetic ordering. So the Hartree-Fock is just send us the time bounding calculation. So you cannot see this phase boundary shift. This is a Monte Carlo result.
So you compute the green function?
I compute a green function,
so
yes.
Both graphs are obtained by green function.
Both?
Yeah, you have this first V2 and the C.
Yeah, they're all green, yeah, given by zero frequency, and we diagonalize
zero frequency
green function, yes. Yes.
And do you have an issue about, you know, at the zero frequency, you have the time here, I have the infinite and the spatial here, I have the large. So what is the gradient? So how big is the lattice in spatial? How many
grids? Oh, basically, like because like remember the green. I'm not sure I answered the question, but we have a line equal time, tau, right? And we Fourier transform of 2i omega. So you integral like 0 to beta,
yeah,
right? You have
how big tau is, and how many discrete points you choose in tau direction?
I choose the I choose the delta tau is like a 0.05. But the beta I choose,
okay.
And I choose like a beta, actually I check a beta is a 5, 7, 10, they all show the similar green function.
So,
that's too big, I'm not sure. But because of this 200, you said beta 200, right? I think the beta is like if a 10, then delta tau, yeah, it's a 200, yes, 200, yes, yes.
But
the spatial direction is also about a 200? No, it's not, 6 by 6, you know. It's a QNC, I think the limit is like 20, I mean, actually like 18, I can do 18 by 18. Yeah.
Frequency, green function,
yes.
So you need to know the,
For this.
So as long as the K point contains the time reverse symmetric point, you can check this.
Yeah, I can check this.
So the lattice,
yes, right? Yes.
And,
Okay, yeah. So you can see this is this blue line given by Monte Carlo simulation. You can see like the boundary shift, obvious. I mean, it's small, but still obvious, like 10 to 15%, and totally given by quantum fluctuation. So this is a generalized K-many model. So the like I show you, so if I just plot the whole axis, you can see this is a Z2. This is a 12 by 12 Z2. You can see from -1 to 1, and this is a spin chain number for a 6 by 6, 12 by 12, 18 by 18. And I mean, if you use this chain number, if you cross to the boundary, it's poorly quantized, but it's still useful to identify the topological phase transition. I mean, if you away the phase transition, like this is a K-many model, limit, you see like still spin chain numbers close to 1, is like a quantized number. On the other side, it's become close to the -2. So basically, that shows like numerically, we can calculate Z2 and the spin chain number and have very good consistent results. And then there's follow about the finite size.
So I don't know what you see the situation where when you mark a sum like 4T or maybe 5T, whether the green function compute is not invertible or something, so that you cannot compute this eigenvalue. The point I try to say is that I think the when you crash in a week,
mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
However, I don't know what is guaranteed to be always invertible for every k point. So there's a concern that the Green function may become non-invertible at certain k point and this formula breaks down. And so what I really try to say is that using the green function to show that the blocking system as a stable against small interaction is okay.
Yeah.
You cannot change invertible line.
Yeah.
But however, whether using the green function to compute the Z2 index for arbitrary strong interaction is a very interesting issue. So I don't know what is the
That's
if you do this amount of color calculation, you probably can address this question to see whether even for strong interaction, whether green function always invertible, just like then just like a free electron case.
Yeah, but then you break commercial symmetry. Right?
Without breaking Tangle symmetry, it's really about the validity of that formula for arbitrary strong interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that formula is really topological index or not. And so certainly assuming without breaking Tangle symmetry.
So you need some phase transition to have a similarity in the green function.
Yeah, the question is suppose we design the interaction such that there's no phase transition. We can avoid any phase transition. And to see whether this index actually can change even without phase transition. Actually, that's the point. Can this index change even without phase transition?
If you have zero.
The question is asked whether there's a zero. I can imagine in the omega k space, there may be zero far away from omega equal to zero. Then we introduce this interaction, maybe zero go to the omega zero and then passing this omega zero plane and the index jump. And so basically, I think in that proof, there is an assumption that green function is always invertible. But for the quantum system, whether that assumption is okay. But I can inverse a green function have no pole and the green function is invertible or not. I don't know whether there is an issue or there is a connection.
I just wonder whether there's no zeros and poles.
You have no pole. Let me see. The inverse of a green function have no poles. That's requirement. Gamma not poles. Yeah, but the inverse of green function that could be zero. Yeah, maybe that's what happened. Or the inverse green function can be zero.
But then the self energy explodes and the system.
No, there is no self energy. Self energy concept for the free, is for its perturbation for the free electron. We have very strong interaction, we just have some green function. Relative to free electron doesn't make any sense.
So we can always apply that.
Yeah. So this is I always wonder this possibility. Since you do Monte Carlo, maybe you
actually I believe the Monte Carlo probably doesn't happen what you say because always a finite size effect.
I mean
this green function is always well defined. I mean like he say symmetry breaking only happen in the thermodynamic limit, right? But here
we
probably
have a design interaction with a second neighbor thermic interaction.
Yeah. But I mean it's a good question, but so far this method can do the near unsigned interaction anyway. Yeah, we can discuss this data. I have some data to show you. Okay, so this is a finite size effect. So you see, this is like a U is 3 and a 4. Then, I mean, if a 6 by 6, 12 by 12, 18 by 18, you can see 6 by 6 seems pretty bad. It's not good quantum number. But if we do the last 1 over L square, it's just a tentative finite size scaling. It's not necessary. L 1 over S can be 1 over L anyway, but we just try to see this one. And we see that if we just do the sum extrapolation, we see these two sides, if we extrapolate to the -2 and O1, you can obviously to see. And the phase transition, you can see U equals 3, T3N is 0.34, it's still a minus, but if U equals 4, it's already go to the positive. So, I mean, you can still roughly see near the phase boundary, it's not easy to identify, but we need to do the larger size calculation, but unfortunately the QNC so far I can do 18 by 18. So this is the GKN model. The next one is a dimerized. What about we add a dimerized or the interaction? We show Z2 and the spin chain number. If the interaction is stronger, we find out the Monte Carlo result shift to the left-hand side. So that means they excrete the region of the topological phase. So that means this destable topological insulated phase. This is different from the generalized K-many model case. And then of course, we also do a spin chain number and compare the phase boundary. They're all consistent. Okay, then the next one is like the charge, the gap closing. So the topological phase transition, everybody know the charge, the gap should close. What about interacting case? This is a GKM model. This is a dimerized K-many model. This is 6x6. This is not interacting. We see the topological phase transition gap close. But when we add the interacting 2, 3, 4, we see like it's not obvious to see the gap closing. But we believe this is a finite size because if we perform 12 by 12, if 12 by 12 u equal 2, you can see like it's already, the kink is already here. And the 3, you can start to see it's going to cross, but 4 still not visible. But you can see if we want to use in a charge gap closing, this is not a good way to identify the phase boundary. Okay, the DKM scene have a similar scene, the small size, the gap not cross, it's still like small gap, but the large size 18 by 18, they see the gap cross. So that here we have a short, maybe remark the single quadrical gap crossing is not a good way to identify topological phase. We need to do the finite size scaling. Okay, so like I say, we have a two model, GKM model and the dimerized K model. This with the interaction, the phase boundary shift this way, this with interaction, boundary shift this way. This is stabilized, this is destabilized topological phase. And so actually we are wondering the reason why they have such difference. So the way we guess is maybe symmetry, because this one, you add a T3 term, this still preserves the C3 symmetry. This one, it doesn't preserve C3 symmetry. So to do this one, I numerically check. So I find two cases. What about I added a longer range hopping like this one? But this one is nice because still preserve the honeycomb rotational symmetry. But this one, on the other hand, I use the dimerized plus like only one term bound here. And so we are wondering if this is still consistent. This still stabilized, this is destabilized. So the Monte Carlo result shows this one still with the Monte Carlo simulation. This is a zero iteration. Then this is Monte Carlo result shows that with iteration still stabilized. This case with iteration still destabilized, shifted this way. So basically, even just we mix the dimerized and T3 turn, and we still destabilize the topological phase. So basically, we have a very short remark, the destabilization or stabilization depends on the symmetry of this time bounding turn. Okay, so I think this is we cannot exactly prove this one, but numerically we check a several model to have such behavior. Okay, so let me just summarize so we combine the quantum Monte Carlo and we calculate Z2 spin chain number in the interacting case. We can study the interacting topological phase transition in the 2 K-many model family case. And we have a parameter in driving topological phase transition then. So this is like a cartoon phase diagram. This is a generalized K-many model. This is a dimerized K-many model. So non-interacting case, we can have a topological phase transition from Z2 to the trivial. It's a Z2 to trivial. But when we add the U, we see this phase boundary shift this way. This add the U instead shift this way. So this is squeezed the Z2 case region. So this destabilized, this stabilized. I mean, so far I consider all below UC to induce the anti-ferromagnetic ordering to avoid it. Because maybe you confuse we have an anti-ferromagnetic ordering, then it's break invergent symmetry. So maybe the formalism to calculate Z2 invariance is not going to work. So we try to constrain discussion here, but that's interesting, what about here? Professor Wen say, the green function behavior, what about here? The reason we guess is for these two models, why different behavior? Because this case, the time bounding parameter preserve the honeycomb lattice symmetry, and this one break the honeycomb lattice symmetry. So maybe we can further conjecture, maybe to search the correct topological insulated state, man, we should just try to design the latest symmetry as much as possible. Okay, so that's my conjecture. Okay, so thank you for your attention.